I don't know if it's kind of hokey to ask you where you'd rank this World Series, Buck. I mean, there have been a lot of good ones, and then there have been some not so good ones, ones that ends in sweep and are out and not very dramatic pretty quickly. This has been a fantastic World Series between the Dodgers and Rays, hasn't it?
It sure has, Scotty. I think the biggest thing is that after game one, everybody expected it to be a four-game sweep. And the Dodgers were so dominant in game one. Kershaw was on his game. The hitters were having a great run. And everybody said, oh, boy, I knew the Dodgers would beat these guys. They're not very good. Well, of course, the Rays showed up in game two. And then, you know, what a dramatic game four we had. But it has been a good series. As far as ranking it, you know, it's difficult to put it into perspective because the eras were so different over the years and the generations of different types of ball playing. But this has been a very, very entertaining World Series with so many different stories and so many different stars. It's been a lot of fun to work.
This is a tough one, though, for the Dodgers, right? Because how do you go into game six? You could win the whole thing, but if it doesn't go the right way, you still have game seven. If you're Dave Roberts, how aggressive do you get?
Oh, I think he gets very aggressive. I don't think he wants to just assume that Walker Buehler can beat the Rays in game seven against Charlie Morton, who wasn't very good in his outing, and he's historically been great in the postseason. So I think Dave Roberts is going to do everything he can to win this game tonight. And he's going to have a short leash on Gonsolin. He's going to have the entire bullpen ready to go. But, yeah, I don't think any manager, especially in Robert's shoes, who has been there before and hasn't been able to complete the task, I think he's going to do whatever he can to win this game tonight.
With Buck Martinez on leadoff, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I think that we've had a lot of similar conversations through the years, Buck, about the way that the game has changed. So I'm going to ask you this question, I think, in a different way, which is, what are some of the things you see in today's game that you wish you would have had access to and knowledge of when you broke in to Major League Baseball in the late 60s, early 70s?
Well, the number one thing is the knowledge of who you're facing, either as a hitter or as a pitcher. We didn't have any video. We had very, very limited advanced scouting reports. You went into a ball game. If you didn't know a guy, it took you two or three or four innings to find out what he was throwing. And that's the fact of the matter. And now the information is so universal. Everybody's got the information. It's a matter of how you use it and whether or not you get overwhelmed by the information or you put it to good use. And when you look at guys like Corey Seager, I think he's probably the best example of this. He has such a game plan when he goes into the box. And, you know, he has been aggressive at times, hitting the first pitch. He has set up pitchers to get a breaking ball. He did it against Max Fried in the championship series where he took a hellacious cut at a first pitch slider, which made you think he was thinking he was going to get a fastball. But he was setting up Fried for the next pitch, which was a curveball, and he hammered it for a home run. A lot of real good at-bats. And the one guy that you know, we have talked about a little bit, but I don't think we can really appreciate what he's done, is what Max Muncy has done. I mean, this guy will get slider, 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 and one fastball at 99 and hammer it. It's amazing what he's been able to do. But he is so disciplined and so confident. You know, my partner, Matt Vasgersian, calls him count 3-2 count because every time he's up there, it's 3-2. But it looks like, okay, now you got him set up to sneak a fastball by him. You can't do it. He's been terrific. And on the other side of the coin, you know, we all know what Rosarena's done, but Manuel Margot is having a good series. Kevin Kiermaier is starting to swing the bat a little bit. So, you know, I think tonight's going to be very interesting, and I expect that Blake Snell understands that you can do a lot to elevate his profile with a big start tonight.
No question. With Buck Martinez, just because I'm fascinated and want to take you back to that period of time, Buck, how did you approach then, I mean, you were a catcher, so let's talk about it from that perspective. An offensive player who may have been a young opponent that you didn't know much about, was it, okay, let's establish the fastball and see if he can handle it, and then get a sense of how he reacts to breaking balls off of that fastball. What was the game plan when you didn't really have advanced scouting for a player you weren't familiar with?
You hit it right on the money. What we would do is we'd always challenge a young hitter to see if he could handle a fastball. And then, you know, if he did that, we would watch how he would approach it. But, you know, in pregame meetings, you would ask anybody in the room, anybody ever seen this guy before? Anybody know about this guy before? And I'll give you one story that I thought was reflective of the time. George Brett was my roommate and teammate in Kansas City, and we had a new guy come up with the Angels, Billy Smith. And Charlie Howell was conducting a meeting, and he says, "Hey, Billy Smith is going to play tonight. Anybody know him?" And George quickly raised his hand. He said, I know him. I played against him. I said, "Well, what kind of hitter is he?" "Well, he's a left-handed hitter." "Well, where does he hit the ball?" He said, "I don't know, but he's got a good-looking sister." That's the kind of information we have.
There you go. That's a great line, great story. Buck Martinez will be calling Game 6 of the World Series, has been calling the entire World Series, on the international feed, which you can watch on Sportsnet. Game 6 tonight, Dodgers looking to clinch against the Rays. Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Clayton Kershaw has done his job in the World Series, has been great in this playoffs. What are the chances that we actually see him in relief for an inning or two, either tonight or tomorrow?
I think tomorrow's a better chance than tonight. I think he'll be available. He very possibly could be in the pen tonight, but I think for sure he will be in the pen if there is a game 7. And by his own admission, and we kind of picked up on it during the broadcast, he didn't have his slider in his second outing in Game 5. But it just reflects and shows you what kind of a great competitor he is, because he never really panicked. He just kept fighting it, trying to get it to break, and then he used his curveball very effectively. But, yeah, I expect him to. He would be in the bullpen for me in Game 7 if there should be one.
What is your opinion, Buck, of the narrative around Kershaw, October, and the playoffs that has hovered over him over the last 7 or 8 years? I've personally, just because even back to the Mattingly days when he managed the Dodgers, I've always thought it was unfair. The Dodgers have never really had a stout bullpen. They had Jansen dominant for a few years in the middle 2010s, but I always thought Kershaw had to go deeper into games than otherwise he would have on other teams because they just didn't have relievers they could count on.
Yeah, I agree with that, Scott. I think the biggest thing is that, you know, everybody is looking at flaws in great competitors, whether they're football players or baseball players or basketball players. Well, you know, he didn't win the big one. Well, he didn't win that great game. Well, you know what? You're playing the best in the world at that time. And, you know, it's a very small sampling of what he does over the course of his career. But, you know, if anybody was to ask me, you know, there are great postseason pitchers that have dominated. Bob Gibson, of course, comes to mind, and John Smoltz and Jack Morris, and they all were great in the biggest of games. But, you know, Clayton Kershaw has been terrific throughout his career. And, yeah, you have to be great to have that many Game 1 starts in the World Series. So I think the managers will tell you what they think of Clayton Kershaw's performance in the postseason.
Who does Kershaw most remind you of? Is it Koufax? I mean, the Dodgers uniform, it's easy to draw that link. You grew up in California, Buck, so you would have watched Sandy pitch as a young man on TV. Is that the right comparison, or who stands out for you? What's that?
I was a Giants fan, though, so I wasn't rooting for Koufax.
Okay, there you go. Well, he used to cause you grief growing up then.
Yes, he did. No, as far as, you know, and everybody wants to compare him to Sandy because Sandy was so dominant and it's a Dodger and everything else. But I think there's a lot of Andy Pettit there. To me, Andy Pettit was a big-time, big-game pitcher as well. And, you know, I love the competitiveness. The character is very similar. You know, they're great competitors, great teammates. But as far as a relatively recent comparison, I would say Andy Pettit is a guy that Kershaw reminds me of. His ability to come in and pitch big games. And, you know, same type of repertoire, curveball. Pettit used a cutter more than a slider. But I think those comparisons are quite similar. Sandy Koufax was just so good And, you know, in 65, he pitched game seven on 2 days rest and pitched a shutout. He was just so dominant in these great games. But, yeah, Kershaw has had a great career, and I think that game last night probably will silence the critics a little bit about not winning the big game.
Who's your playoff MVP for both teams at this point, Buck?
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. And, you know, everybody is quick to go to Corey Seager. But I tell you what, Max Muncy is going to get some attention, too, for what he has done, because he has come up with some big hits. He leads the Dodgers in on-base percentage and RBIs. He's hitting .398. You know, Seager's had the great series, 8-for-17, a couple of homers. One of those guys, and maybe if Kershaw does come back and pitch in relief in Game 7, it would be Clayton Kershaw. That's what I would say for the Dodgers. And, of course, you know, if Blake Snell wins this game tonight and Tampa Bay wins, you know, the Rays have only had one quality start in the entire postseason, and that was Glasnow against the Blue Jays. But if he comes up and pitches at least six innings and they win again tonight, he would get consideration. But, of course, Rosarena is another consideration. He's had a phenomenal postseason run. You know, the interesting thing about him is we talk about him like he's Barry Bonds and Nelson Cruz, but he had 84 at-bats in the regular season coming into this. I mean, for 2 years, that's it. And what he's done is remarkable. It makes you go back to some of the great World Series performances. But I think Kiermaier's going to get some consideration. He's had a very quiet, successful run. But I would say for the Rays, if Blake Snell wins this game tonight, he's going to get strong consideration on their side.
With Buck Martinez on leadoff, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Randy Arozarena has had a terrific postseason. I mean, he's hit the home runs. He's got, you know, closing in on what? Well, not quite three dozen hits. He's got more than two dozen hits. He's been on a heater. The funny thing with a guy like him, Buck, young player that we didn't know much about, if the Cardinals trade you out of their organization, that's a red flag for me. What do they know that the rest of us wouldn't? But then on the flip side, if the Rays are acquiring you, they must like you, and they're pretty good judges of talent. So that kind of negates. Do you see in Randy Arozarena a guy who can have long-term success as an upper class or elite player in Major League Baseball? Or is this just a moment in time where we'll go, hey, remember that guy, Randy Arozarena? Was he great for 2 months or what?
Yeah, and that's quite an interesting question, Scott. I think Kevin Cash calls Arozarena his Cuban Mookie Betts, and that's pretty high praise. And Kevin has seen Mookie a lot. But when you look at his skill set, he runs really well. He's not a terrific defender, but I think that can be something he can address. But he's a great athlete. You know, he's a soccer player. That's his first love. And you can see the athleticism in his baseball game. But, you know, there's a couple of things I think really interesting in the postseason. Luke Voit was also cast aside by the Cardinals.
Yeah.
And then you think of all the Pirates that are in this series that the Pirates gave up on, including Glasnow and Morton and Austin Meadows. So I think if I were a Pirate or a Cardinal fan watching this World Series, I go, what are we doing? How come these guys are having success in the World Series? But, you know, Tampa Bay has done a phenomenal job. You know, everybody has the perception that the Tampa Bay Rays draft and develop very well. Well, the Dodgers have more homegrown players in this series than the Rays do. But that speaks to the Rays' ability to identify players in other organizations that they think will fit into what they do. Manuel Margot, Hunter Renfro, you know, Austin Meadows, third baseman Joey Wendell. I mean, all of these guys, and even Willie Adames came from the Tigers. So, you know, they've done a great job of putting together players that fit their molds from other organizations that haven't even surfaced yet. You know, they do a great job of looking in the lower levels of the minors and identifying players that they like. And they've done a great job of making wonderful trades to get to where they are.